So we're live.
We're live.
We're live. Okay. So welcome everybody to the November board meeting of the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center. I've just called it to order. We're calling the meeting to order. And Sarah, will you please take the roll?
David Aguayo.
Here.
Angela Bozo is not here. Kathleen Detman.
Here.
Elizabeth Doyle.
Here.
Attending by teleconference. Judy Kurofsky.
I'm here.
Glenn Craig.
Here.
Attending by teleconference. Aureliano Montes. Not here. Andrea Nielsen. Not here. Stephen Peters. Is not here. Mark Richardson.
Here.
Jim Ring.
Here.
Eric Rotier.
Here.
Kevin Scheibler.
Here.
Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. And Mike Revere.
Here.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, everybody.
We're good.
The first order of business is to approve the minutes from the October 17th meeting. Do I hear a motion?
Motions to approve.
Is that David?
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion? I think maybe, do we have an update on the public speaker from that?
We do not yet.
Okay.
We couldn't get it together in time.
Okay, that's my only question. Are there any other questions or comments on the minutes? If not, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor of adopting the minutes?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Anyone opposed? No. Okay. We've adopted the minutes of the September board meeting. And now, disclosures and recusals. Is there anybody here who wants to make a required disclosure or recusal? I know. Eric.
So I'm also on the board of directors for Destination Madison. And through my employment, I help run the Brookfield Conference Center.
Okay. Is there any other?
Glenn, City of Madison Room Tax Commission.
Thanks, Glenn. Aldo, you were smiling.
Thank you, Judy. I continue to serve on the Monona Terrace Booking Event Assistance Advisory Committee and the City of Madison Room Tax Commission.
Thank you. Is there any other disclosure or recusal? Going once, going twice. Thanks, everybody.
Did you call for public comment?
I did not call for public comment. Public comment.
Anyone here for public
do we
comment?
Are we going to comment publicly?
Nope.
Anyone?
I only know, there's only one face I don't recognize. I asked. Is she with you?
She's part of the presentation.
She is.
Yeah. Awesome.
It's a dynamic presentation.
And she's going to report publicly.
All right. Otherwise, in the next sign-ups.
Sarah, thank you. And now we're up to presentations. And Jason Ilstrup, president of DMI. You want to present?
It's me.
On that black screen?
Hopefully. There we go.
Cute. Can we see that
Mateo.
One?
Oh, Mateo.
Yeah.
I do have his first snow photo.
Can we see it?
We will definitely. So hello, everyone. I'm Jason Ilstrup, president of Downtown Madison, Inc. And it's so, I feel like this is a yearly occurrence now. So thank you to Connie and Sarah to talk about what's happening in downtown. And yes, Alder Revere, the presentation will be very different than this
morning.
But I tailored it to you all here. But this is a difficult one. Because the current personnel committee chair, Mark Richardson, is in the room. And my review is literally in like 4 days. Do you really? Very interesting. So there's no pressure here. We need to modify the good things you already said. Anyway, so I'm Jason Ilstrup, president of Downtown Madison, Inc. Those that don't know, we're a membership-based organization that stemmed out of the Chamber of Commerce, and our great friends, David and Zach and Kevin and the team, work with them consistently now, but we started in 1972 as the Central Cities Committee and formed our own organization in 1984, and we've been at it since. We are excited to have a couple board members here today. Mark Richardson, our most recent past chair, serves on our board of directors as well, and Alder Mike Revere serves on our board of directors, and Connie Thompson is an ex officio member of our board of directors. We love you three. We're very excited to announce the new hiring of Emily DeVore. Is our director of placemaking and economic development. This will be a joint position between us and our friends at Destination Madison.
Oh, cool.
And she's going to be helping lead some of what I'm going to talk about at the end. our strategic visioning plan for downtown, plus a lot of other things. But right now we're just figuring out where the bathroom is, how to get onto our internal server, things like that, which we haven't done yet.
We're working. Did you show them where the bathroom is?
I showed where the bathroom is. Emily DeVore, yeah, capital V.
Welcome, Emily.
Yeah, we're very excited, very excited. She's even representing me at another event in just a few minutes with Alder over here. So just a quick update on DMI. DMI, we're a growing organization. We have over 550 members right now. We're adding folks, including Emily, who's in the room here today. We're just very excited to be a part of this big movement that's happening in downtown. A couple of new tools we have for you before I get into the main presentation so that you can sort of see this information all of the time. We have a new data dashboard. This dashboard allows us to have real-time information about what's happening in live, work, and play in downtown. If you just go to our website, www.downtownmadison.org, this dashboard literally can tell you how many folks are where at what time in any given place. We buy into something called Placer AI, which tracks cell phone usages and then anonymizes it. We don't know who you are, but we would know that there are 18 cell phones in this room, where you came from and where you're going to go next, where it's registered. So it gives us really specific information. So we offer this service to our friends at the Monona Terrace if they ever need it. Just let us pay for it. It's, trust me, that's the right thing to do. Don't have a slide on this. We also have a development tracker. It's actually our most used page on our website. We track all development in the downtown. As a refresher, we consider downtown to be the entire isthmus. So the Yahara to Camp Randall, roughly to about Lakeside, Olin on the south as well. There are 8,000 apartment units in the works right now, and there's 8 tower cranes up right now. 1 or 2 more are coming, although 1 or 2 more are coming down. It always sort of stays around that 8 to 10. There's just a lot happening in development.
Excuse me, 8 to 10 being constructed at the present time?
Or 8 to 10 tower cranes that are erected. So that tower crane is the big ones.
Yeah.
And those are only used for projects probably at 6 floors or more.
Okay.
Yeah. Big projects we have to move a lot of. Although one project has admittedly 2 tower cranes. Our friends at 109 West, East Wilson Street.
Of course I knew.
Yes. So what's happening in the downtown? There's a lot happening in advocacy. And sorry, David, this is a lot of do-over with you because, David, we work together significantly. Both us, the Chamber, Destination Madison, MadRep, long, strong partnership in advocacy. We're seeing the rise of a lot of neighborhood business associations. And David and I just had a meeting about this. We're seeing a lot of the downtown want to represent themselves, right? And be part of the larger culture and the business area in downtown. And we're really proud to announce that there's several in sort of the outer parts of downtown. SEBA, which is a Cap East Business Association, recently started up. It's the area bounded by Mifflin and Main, from Butler to the Yahara. So basically East Washington Avenue. Lot of activity. WISO, MyArts, Art and Lit Lab, Silby, Moxie. I mean, the Neutral, Baker Play, you name it. There's just a ton happening in that area. And so that group we help administer as our organization, and they run themselves. Next up we have, luckily, Williamson Street has a new business association as well. That they did not have one for the last couple of years after COVID. We are Willie and Guaba, both ceased to exist, and now the Williamson Marquette Business Alliance has been formed. And then Regent Street. Regent Street is an area that we watch very closely. See here, we do a lot of planning on Regent Street. In fact, a new visioning for Regent Street will be announced in the next couple of weeks. This is one of the hottest areas of downtown, and they are forming their own business association as well. And I should say a huge thank you to Alder Mike Revere and the city who worked with us to get some funds from ARPA to make sure that we can help stand these organizations up. Why we tell this story is there's a lot of business happening here in downtown and a lot of groups working in this area. And it's our job as DMI to sort of bring them all together. Air service is a big one. Everyone always likes to hear that. I added that specifically for you all because it's so important to the Monona Terrace. We're proud again with our friends at the Chamber, Destination Madison and MadRep. And Madison's, that was a Freudian slip. Don't tell him I said that. Is Stephen Peters here? The Dane County Regional Airport. I'm the chair of the Dane County Regional Airport.
You should probably know
you
the name.
Were.
Yeah, I know. I guess kind of second Vanguard. See you later. Significant activity in that area and a really strong partnership, again, with Zach, with Ellie, with Jason, myself, and Epic. Epic has the 34th largest travel budget of any American company. They're literally sandwiched between Walmart and General Electric. So when they talk to the airlines, it makes a big difference. So we're going to see significant increased air service in the next year or two. not necessarily new directs we know of immediately, but new flights to Philadelphia and Phoenix and several others. And we think some very positive news could be coming. In fact, myself and Ellie and Epic and the team at the airport are making a headquarter visit to Southwest Airlines in a few months. So we'll hope that they come here.
Did you mean to mention those two cities? Because we already connect with them.
Just new additional air service.
Okay.
I'm always half glass full. Yes, yeah, okay. More. Yes, two flights a day.
I was trying to go.
Everything's positive here.
Else.
Minus the next one. The air is
a safety issue. There's only one option right now, so I'll take all the new ones.
Right.
There you go. Phoenix is, yes. American already started it, right? So they're running two a day, I think, starting last week. An ISMA safety initiative, something that we pay a lot of attention to, is what's going on with public safety in the downtown. Important to your visitors. This is a $1 million grant of absolute enormous thank you to Alder Revere, who's been a champion of this project now for 4 years or so. It's a federal grant to help reduce gun crime and sexual assault and sexual violence in the downtown. The Safer Bar program, we have new ambassadors that are on the down on State Street and the Gilman 600 block University area. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights trying to stop violence before it happens that are not uniformed. This is a very aggressive but yet progressive way to look at safety. Next up, we have a significant amount of assistance working in outdoor accessible dining through our Beyond Compliance Task Force and making sure that downtown, in that area in particular, but now overall, it is the most accessible it can be for folks.
Why do you say videos?
Because we do training videos for all of the restaurants. So anytime anytime any restaurant pulls a permit for outdoor dining, they automatically get these training videos, eight different training videos on how to work with people with disabilities, how to set up their space. Those spaces are obviously sort of inherently not accessible. There's curb cuts. It's what some would call tactical urbanism already. And so by nature, it isn't as accessible. Oftentimes the tables are not at the correct distance apart from each other and items like that. The restrooms aren't accessible. So if you watch these videos, they're on YouTube. I'm the bad guy. So literally I'm cast as the bad guy. And I say, no, I'm sorry, we don't have a restroom. And I like walk away. It's really nice. affordable. One of the areas we very much pay attention to right now is affordable housing, particularly in student affordable housing. And we had a working group with Alders MGR, Govinda Rajat, and Juliana Bennett. And then I think very importantly for our downtown is we're working federally. I'm the chair of the International Downtown Association's U.S. Government Policy Committee, and we're actively working to get a series of tax credits called the Revitalization of Downtown and Main Street Act, which will provide tax credits for office buildings that get converted to housing and with the component of affordable housing. We think this will pass, hopefully with the new Congress. We just don't know at this point, but it's part of the tax bill. And that would provide a significant incentive and change the capital stack. We don't have a lot of buildings here in downtown Madison that would be, I think, eligible for that. We're doing well here in Madison, and I'll sort of go over where we are. But I don't know if you would disagree with buildings that could be converted. There are some conversions happening now. I don't know what I should say publicly or not publicly, but there's a building or two that are out there that could be converted into different uses, let's say, than this. So this is just kind of an update of what's going on. I try to give you a different update every single time we come. These are some of the major, but different issues that we were working on in the past. All right, we're going to celebrate downtown. That's what I like to do. I did not make these fancy graphics to be very
cute.
This is all Madeline Plummer. She's the best. Let's talk about downtown in some key areas. We give you this update every year. These numbers continue to rise. The downtown population is at 40,000 residents. The census says it's at 34,000. Why the delta? The actual number is 40,000. It's because about 6,000 college students don't properly complete their census form. 6 months and a day, and you are a resident of that city, they'll fill out Sheboygan or Minneapolis or Chicago or New York. So the delta there, we know that from Placeria. So there's 40,000 residents. To give you perspective, that's significantly larger than a lot of towns with metropolitan areas, much larger than ours. I would say we're probably downtown population-wise, we're certainly in the top 50. I probably think we're in the top sort of 25 to 30, to give you perspective. The next level is significantly bigger, right? I mean, New York City's got 8 million people living in a downtown. Seattle's got 100,000 living in the downtown. But we're sitting in a very good spot. 81% of those folks are ages 15 to 34. That number is actually ticking down pretty significantly. At one point, it was 87%. What we're seeing is significant growth, particularly in retired folk that are moving into the downtown. I think we'll see a lot more of that with projects like 109 on Wilson Street, your new neighbor. about 9,000 apartments in the works right now. So those are projects that start. We put them on the tracker. They start as a neighborhood meeting, and we keep them on 6 months post-construction. Alder Verveer can probably tell you another 10 projects that I don't even know about. You want to tell us right now what those are?
In alphabetical order.
Yes. There is a senior housing project I recently learned about, I'll mention, as a teaser.
Can you explain?
So I can confirm what you just articulated.
That's... Jason, how do the numbers, people ages 15 to say 18?
Oh, 15 to 18, very, yeah. Very small. Oh.
But they're still significant because you're using that number.
Yes, so we use, it's what the census tells us. So we use it based on the census number. The first beyond small children is 15 to 34.
Yeah.
But we know for a fact that I would say there's very few 15 to 18 year olds living in the downtown. When the rise is coming, and David knows this well, the chamber does excellent work understanding who's moving to downtown and who's moving into the community. It's Gen Z. Right, we have proportionally the highest number of Gen Z new workers of any city in the country. It's being led by companies like Epic. They're adding, 2,500 next year? And 90% of those new hires are ages 22 to 26.
Recent college grads.
And only 65, 70% of them, they come from outside of the Midwest. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing significant amount, and they're moving downtown. Mm-hmm. They're moving downtown. The rental vacancy, I said the statistic today, CoStar, which is one of the bellwether companies that looks at rental vacancy. If we continue on, we're about third right now in the country for cities. If we continue to add the number of residents or demand that we have right now, and we continue to build the same supply at the same pace, which is decent but not fast enough, we will have the lowest rental vacancy of any city in the country. We'll surpass New York, the first time in about 20 years that any city. But that's some ways positive.
It's not good.
That's the negative,
yeah.
Right? The positive is that people want to move here. The negative is we're not building fast enough. Where are we going to put all these folks? Stressing the system. The deputy mayor certainly knows.
And driving rents up. Hello.
Correct. We actually are seeing some submarkets of rent going down. So student rent is slightly ticking down. There's a bunch of new inventory this last year. It's technically on paper not going down, but something called net rent is going down. They're giving you a free month here. They're giving you a free TV or whatever, but it's net
dog
rent.
Wash.
A dog wash, yes. I have an 18-pounder and a 16-pounder, so that'd be worth like $8. Yes. We do have coyotes in my neighborhood. I'm very scared right now. You're going to eat my little dogs. That was very positive of me. Not part of the normal presentation. One question that people always talk about after population and residency is what's happening in the office and the retail markets. For a fact, these are the two most unstable in any downtown across the country. We are doing pretty well, actually I would say very well here in Madison. The vacancy rate for four quarters in a row is 12% in the downtown, somewhere between 12 and 12.5%. We got a total of about 4.4 million square feet, and we're doing significantly better than like cities, apples to apples cities. I have several copies of the report. You can see the graphs of sort of who we look at. But we're doing much better than most. Most of our peer markets are somewhere between 18 and 25%. So the question, which if you're at the panel today, sorry, this was answered, why? One, we never overbuilt. You know, somewhere between 4 and 4 million square feet is just, it's this equivalent of the Sears Tower or the Willis Tower in Chicago.
Do you have more of these?
I'll get you many more if you need them, but not on me, no. I'll bring them over to your office, hand deliver them. We also are seeing a significant amount of natural users, this building, right here, says that we're going to have significant amount of downtown office, right? The state government themselves, 52% of all employees in the downtown are government. Most state, significant city, significant county, and then a little bit federal. So they have office space, but also the folks that need to work with the Capitol, right? The law firms, the associations, the lobbying groups, it's a natural demand here. But we're also seeing significant increase in new young companies like Cardamom Health, your neighbor in the building. Young companies want to be downtown for two reasons. There's something called flight to quality. Now, flight to quality, we're seeing this in office across the country. They want to be in quality spaces, so the building themselves, you know, ULI, Mullins, these buildings are very, very nice buildings, Hubdi, and the quality location. So they can go to Ancora for their coffee shops and meet their friend. They can go to the Sylvie after. You can go to the Orpheum. You can go to the Kohl Center for a game. Young folks want to be where other people are, and downtown is where we are. Total number of employees is 51,203. That number is actually going back up. It dipped to 48,000 under COVID, but we don't know for sure what that number is because there's a lot of reported state employees that are not working here all the time. We should be very clear that the new employee is a hybrid employee. The new normal is already here. It's been here for 2 years. These are folks that mostly are remote capable employees. So like myself, like a law firm, like most of you in this room, they're working 3 days a week at their office, usually Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. That's the new norm. We see that from the traffic patterns, the parking patterns, Placer AI, key fobs. So the buildings will give us the key fob information. We know how many people are going in and out. Mondays are slow. And that is honestly, Alderir and I have had these conversations, it's changing the nature of the businesses that serve those folks. Lunches are down. Happy hours are down. Friday and Saturday nights couldn't be busier at these restaurants. So my piece of advice, go out to dinner on a Tuesday night.
So when you say 51,000 total employees, mm-hmm. their business address is downtown. They're not working downtown. Is that what you just said?
It's hard to know. They're actually registered to work downtown. Their company tells the system that they're working downtown. But we don't, with the new hybrid model, you don't know, right?
Got it.
I would say that are there, like when this legislature is in session, and everything's up and running, could we be close to 51,000 people in downtown? Potentially, probably at 40 to 45. But I would say on average, you're probably, I'm guessing, 25 to 30 that are here on any one day. Mondays, it might be down into 10 to 20. Mm-hmm. I'd have to track that information. We certainly could do that through Placer. Second question people always ask is, what's going on with retail? And the retail scene, also we lump in restaurants and attractions into that space. Positive news, Madison Central Business Improvement District is reporting the second highest total of people coming downtown ever. 2017 was the apex. This last year was 8.7 million visitors. I think if we talk to our friends at Destination Madison and a few others, we think that number in 2024 will be higher than that. That is positive. Another somewhat positive is 9% vacancy rate in the Business Improvement District. Again, that's this area you're staring at right here. It's State Street and the Capitol Square and the little tentacles that run off, King Street and a few others, Gilman, that have some of those businesses. That number peaked down at 7%. We just had several development projects that are no longer going to move forward and that those numbers then come back. But 9% is decent. We would like it to be at 6 to 7%. What's very positive, though, is that 80% of those businesses are our neighbors. They're owned by our neighbors, right? They're locally owned. That is something that is significantly higher than most cities. We're actually starting to see some retail come back. If it's Zotica, if it's Lake City Books, if it's Journeyman, there things are happening a little bit more with retail, particularly in what they call experiential retail, right? Think for imagination. You literally walk in there, it's an experience. You can taste something, you can smell something, you can try something. It's all right there. Those are what are very successful. Also, retail does omni-channel. So they're using their facility as a marketing place. They're using it as a warehouse to ship out. The best place that does this downtown, two places in particular, Soap Opera and August Shoes. You think that they're just selling the shoes out there, but no. Most shoes are going out the back door through FedEx or whatever that looks like. So, all right. One of the real highlights we have here, and what I think is very important for you all, is tourism. We get these numbers from our friends at Destination Madison. $1.5 billion was the highest they've ever been. Record $314 million in visitor spending here in just the downtown, broken up in those main areas. That results in 3,200 hospitality jobs. It's a big, big chunk of folks. We do know, we hope, from room tax receipts and whatnot, that 2024 will surpass this number. What Ellie Westmanchin and the team at Destination Madison doing is extraordinary. They're taking what Deb and Bill before to the next level. And, you know, Connie, you see this all the time. We're just seeing a lot more travelers coming here from across the country. And Kate Dale did a wonderful job explaining that here this morning. All right. Events are back. They're back. We are seeing higher attendance we've ever seen, hence that 8.7 million number. Farmers Market is at its peak, getting 25,000 folks per Farmers Market. The night market average, Emily, was it 17,000? We'll go with it. You're not going to fact check me. 17,000. Yes, you will, because it'll come up at a board meeting.
Because almost everyone was a nice weather night, fair weather night.
To be honest, they deserved it though, because like 2 years ago, remember, like
so cold,
yeah,
raining.
It it was cold, it was raining. It was the same year that they had the power malfunction for not Cars on State, but for Maxwell Street Days. So they deserved it. Yeah, they did everyone. Great. They did great. And we were so thankful for the city for opening up what they call the Y intersection. So big things happening here. A couple of things I will note before I get onto the strategic visioning part of this. There are also several catalytic projects which are truly starting to move forward. Your neighbors here, the Lake Madison Lakeway, huge thanks to Mark Richardson and the team. They've hired a wonderful new director, Jamie Powers. I hope you're able to bring her and make that connection soon. We're going to see some real progress in 26 and 27. You know, thank you to the mayor's office. The mayor truly had the vision, along with Alder Mike Revere, to make the Center Park and to expand that space. So huge thanks to both the mayor and Alder Revere. And this is starting to come to fruition. We're also excited about two other catalytic projects, Top of State. If you're anywhere near the Top of State, I would go every single day right now because you'll literally watch the jaws of life take this building down brick by brick. It is, we have a window to it in our office. It is so fascinating. But we are so excited what the new Wisconsin Historical History Center will bring us. And we're convinced that their Veterans Museum, crueler heads will prevail, and a new Veterans Museum will there. Remember, the Top of State is the most used pedestrian intersection in the entire state of Wisconsin. And that was, with all due respect, without buildings that interfaced very well with the street. The new History Center does an amazing job with all glass entrances and what we as a city and the private sector can do with Philosopher's Grove and the Forum sites, create these unbelievable placemaking locations, and hopefully have a new Veterans Museum. The sky is the limit. And then potentially, we're going to hear some good news about Madison College.
We can always hope.
Okay. Anyway, we're seeing a lot of positive.
There are two folks in discussions last I heard.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Commercial real estate. We're matching the same things. I even brought AV for you all. You're welcome. So what we're going to talk about now is our new downtown Madison strategic visioning plan. We want to create this vibrancy. It's very loud, sorry.
Yep.
This amount of noise all the time. But it's done in about 2 seconds. There you go. So I woke you up. That's usually a tactic to wake David. So we are very excited to partner with the mayor's office, with the city of Madison, with Alder Revere on a first of its kind public-private partnership to create a strategic visioning plan for downtown. We hope to begin this work. Well, we begin it in earnest now, and we'll be running this project. The idea is to start this in quarter one. What are we doing here? We're creating a comprehensive visionary plan for the downtown, right? It's a public-private partnership. This is different than what we call the downtown plan, which is a land use plan. The idea is that this plan can help inform the land use plan, which should happen in 2027. So it'll focus on, you know, what opportunities do we have out there? What are the catalytic projects? What's the programming we want to see downtown? What should we be doing with the public right-of-way space? What should our members of our organization, what should the business mix look like? And how do we actually implement that plan? This is something that plans have been happening in larger downtowns throughout the country. And we're excited to bring in one of the world's leading experts on this, MIG, to make this happen. The scope of the work, it's big, right? It's an innovative, forward-thinking plan for the next 10 to 15 years. We're going to work with MIG and fantastic local sub-partners, including Vandewall & Associates, and significant public outreach with our great friend, Annette Miller, and Equity by Design are going to help really inform what the downtown will look like over the next decade. The proposed outcomes are these, right? A unified strategy vision for the next 10 to 15 years. What are the catalytic projects? What's the framework we need for all these things to intersect? What's the funding model could look like? Do we need state assistance? Do we need to change things up? And act as an advisory document for that next land use plan, which I now heard from Billy, it probably is going to be 27 just yesterday. 26, 27. Are you hearing it?
I heard late 26 is last I heard.
Yeah, I think, yes. So somewhere in there. So the land use plan is really about land use, right? Setbacks, step backs, usages, heights, density, things like that, density. That's a key plan for the forward vision of downtown. Honestly, if it wasn't for the forward thinking of the writers of the last plan who inserted the Lake Monona waterfront project in, we may not be where we are today. You were in the room when it happened. Yes, I'm going to sing Hamilton here later. All right, we're almost done, I promise. I'm in a half hour here. This is where we are, the timeline. The press proposals are in. We got it. The city, we're working directly with the city on this. The plan creation, we're a little bit delayed. We're going to start now in January. And then it runs to 35. It'll run about 10 years. So we are super excited for what the future of downtown looks like. It looks like an economically strong, equitable, inclusive, and vibrant place to live, work, and visit. And we could not be more thankful for the incredible work that Benoni Terrace does as literally the ambassador, the front door for our downtown with all the events. There you are. All of the events, all of the people. You are downtown's community center. And we cannot be more thankful for the partnership. And we are excited for years to come of partnerships. You all will be significantly a part of that new strategic visioning plan. And I just want to say thank you. So thank you for all you do. Certainly can take any questions if that's okay, Madam Chair.
Any questions for Jason? Come on.
Come on, you got it.
I was going to ask you to sing Hamilton.
I'll dance Hamilton.
No, thank you. And what should we do if we want to participate in any of this?
Yes, so it's a great question.
Thank you.
So Monona Terrace is a member organization of Downtown Madison. And so any board member of the organization is also a member of DMI, although I think literally almost every single one of you are already members of DMI. So second part is, we can refund you. We'll make Bacon the member. The second part is we will work with Connie to make sure that this is the group that's plugged into this new strategic visioning work once it starts in earnest come first quarter. We need your feedback, your input. What do you want to see? What should Wilson Street look like? What should all of these things look like right next to your facility? Wilson Street is having it's a moment, right? I mean, there's a significant amount of activity happening. It's still there, yes. But we're seeing that in many areas, but we want to make sure that we're connecting you all to what's happening in the downtown so you have a voice for what's going on downtown. Truly a whole, it's capital P, right? All of the public should be involved in this conversation. I guess I did such a bad job that no one has any questions.
Such a good job.
Thank you again for the opportunity. I did the same thing.
I know, right? I'm so used to that.
We're up to new business, so the board has to authorize the director and board chair to sign an amendment with Sound Production and Lighting LLC.
Thank you. Take
care. Bill, are you going to explain this to us?
Move over here. I'm trying to move. Right. This is a contract we have with an AV rental house. When we need extra projectors, when we need trussing, various equipment that isn't in our inventory, or we have it, but we need three more. We're able to go to this rental house. They were chosen through a competitive bidding process, and smartly, the attorney we worked with at the time, Steve Brist, recommended we set it up that it's an initial term of 1 year, but we have the option of four renewals. So although an amendment. I mean, this is an extension. It amends the contract to extend it 1 year. And
it's in which year is this? Second, third, or fourth?
This is the first extension.
For the second year now?
Correct.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, I mean, in the initial agreement has language that talks about, the Monona Terrace Board is authorized to approve any additional option one of the four-year renewal terms. That's awkward. Anyway, the board gets to approve the one-year renewals. The Monona Terrace Board is authorized to approve any additional one-year renewals in a format to be approved by the city attorney and the finance director. Such renewals shall be signed by the chair of the Monona Terrace Board and the director of Monona Terrace or their duly authorized designees. No such renewal shall bind the city to any terms or conditions contrary to the contract. We have a few copies of the contract. It's a standard City of Madison purchase of services contract.
So do you need a motion from the board?
We do. And then, yes, that would authorize you to sign it.
So is there a motion authorizing the director and the board chair to sign a one-year extension for the second year of the contract? Is there a second?
Can I make a comment?
Oh, please.
I'm reading this and laughing because I'm having the same discussion with my brother at my office. I don't believe you're exercising your option. I believe you're amending the term and that you still have four options left. Because my brother does this with our stuff, and I'm like, if you're exercising your option, you would be sending them a letter or something saying, we hereby exercise our option. You've agreed to extend this 1 year and all other terms remain the same. You aren't referencing that we're exercising your option. So to me, you still have four options left.
Okay.
Want them. But, yes. But if you want it to be an extension of an option, I wouldn't word it this way myself. But it's just...
Yeah, but
that's my read of our lease. We do exactly the same thing, or we're doing exactly the same thing.
If you give them the option to extend, it's really...
Well, you have an option. You don't need to do an amendment to exercise your option. So if you're amending the term, you're not amending, you're not referencing that we're exercising
anything.
You still have four options left. You just extended the term by another year.
Oh.
Right?
Is that how you see it? No, we don't only have two left. We have
four. Well, how many? Didn't you have four? Or
originally four.
Yes.
Well, if you did the last year the same way as this, then you still have all your options.
But last year was the first year.
This is the same agreement you used last time. You still have all your options.
All right. So, Ward, is this semantics, or do we want to discuss this?
No, I mean, that's, you guys will figure that out with the city.
I can find out what the attorney's intended.
I mean, Dave Schmidtke will approve this. Mike Haas will approve this as the form.
It doesn't hurt us to have more.
We like this.
Options are the benefit.
We like this rental house.
We're so glad you're here. But another discussion would be how this has worked out. So I presume that you're telling us that it has worked out so we wouldn't
want to continue. We wouldn't ask for this if we didn't like this rental house. If they didn't render good service at a good price, we'd go out to bid again.
Anybody else have a comment? We have a motion on the floor. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? The motion passes. Bill, thank you. And now we have a similar option, authorizing the director and the board chair to sign an agreement with Verizon Wireless. Jeff, hi.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
All right. So we have two cellular companies that currently have equipment in the building, and they pay us a monthly fee. I had to look it up on the contract, and it's actually called in-building wireless equipment. And so it's kind of like it's an enhancer that helps with wireless internet signal. The two companies pay us a monthly fee every year. Between the two of them, it's a shade over 10 grand. Verizon came to us because the contract was expiring at the end of the year, asked if they could renew. So Sarah worked with them to get everything in place. There wasn't an increase in the monthly fee that they pay us, but there was one concession that was made that was if they end up having to come in here to do any off-hour repairs, they would pay us a premium for the ability to come in and get their stuff done. And so the way that we look at it is, we're getting paid for just housing some equipment. And between the two companies, like I said, it's a shade over 10 grand annually. So we just need your approval to finalize that contract. I don't remember the terms. I'm sorry, Sarah. If it's a couple years or...
I think it's 15.
Okay.
A couple comments on this one.
Well, let's get a motion. Is there a motion to authorize? Is there a motion to authorize the director and board chair to sign the agreement? Motion? Someone? Anyone?
Motion.
You just did. David, is there a second?
Second.
Now, Jim.
So this isn't rooftop cellular equipment. It's inside for other purpose.
Yeah.
The rent seemed low for a rooftop installation compared to what we're getting from cellular. Personally, I don't like auto renews. If you miss this, you're locked in for another 10 years. If you auto renew, it says two successive five-year periods. You aren't happy with them, but you aren't at a point where they're violating the lease. You might not want them around, and if you miss that day, but that's just us.
This is the second 15-year contract that we've had with them, and they really are. We hardly ever see them or worry about them. They wouldn't go up on the price. I tried to get them to pay us more, and they wouldn't.
Is there an escalator clause in there where if you're locked in for 15 years, do we say? Is there a way to at any point increase that.
This is a benefit to your
right with a landlord. Right?
It so is. Not, it is a benefit.
Yeah. So you're not a lot of leverage there.
Right. We don't have these antennas in the building. Customers have lousy cell service.
Right. They can't get out.
So do we.
So you're getting something for a benefit that you're getting also. I had a correction though on section 17. You refer to removing equipment and then pursuant to paragraph 19, but 19 is compliance, 20 is removal.
It's the wrong. Okay.
So I'm guessing somewhere in here a paragraph got added, pushed everything down, and a reference to change. So that should really read, I believe it should read paragraph 20.
I think it should refer back to 10
for
special conditions.
Well, 20 is the paragraph that says removal and disposal of equipment. It says it shall immediately remove its equipment pursuant to paragraph 19. It would make sense to me you're referring to 20 instead of 19.
Yeah, it's possible that something got took out.
19 is compliant.
With regard to insurance or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. With for the termination part. Yeah. Yeah, I think you're
right, 20. So where it says 19, I should adjust that to be 20.
So you are going to adjust it. You are making an amendment to the motion. We should do that. Correcting it.
Make a simple
I don't think you like do.
Let it go.
This is, you're going to sign it. That's really what they're.
Perfect.
You will sign.
Are there any other comments on the motion to authorize the director and the board chair to sign an agreement with Verizon Wireless? Going once, going twice. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Aye.
Is there an opposition?
No.
No,
okay.
It's just a
late eye. Oh, heard you. Okay, thanks, Glenn. Hi. So now, booking pace update. Bill, thank you.
Yes. This will be our last projection for the year, and we bring this year in for a landing, so to speak. And it's you know, has been a really good year. We think we will finish with I think some really really good numbers. So right now our event revenue we're projecting to be at about 4.9, almost 4.95 million versus a budget of 4 million. So we're about 23% over on our event revenue over budget is where we think we'll land. And for overall revenue, we budgeted 4.3 million. We think we will come in almost at 5.2. So we'll be about 20.5% over on overall revenue by the end of the year. We've had some pretty nice events this November as well. You know, they've been spending money, and they spent money on food and beverage that wasn't necessarily anticipated. So I think we may improve on this projection even based on the performance of these groups in November. So it's looking good. I think we'll come in at about 510 events. We projected 534. The mix of events has certainly changed a little bit from what we anticipated for our budget. But we've had, our meetings overperformed. And basically everything overperformed except for banquets in terms of the revenue that we're hoping to get out of those. And that came down to just the number of them. We'll finish at about 161, and we thought we could do about 187. That's my report.
Questions for Bill? Those banquets, again, those are weddings that are taking place elsewhere? Or we don't
sure
know.
They're not.
They're just not taking place here.
It's not exclusively weddings. It's any kind of banquet. It could be a retirement party, it could be a corporate event, it could be a birthday party, anything that people are doing.
Well, they're missing out on the best food.
What's that?
I said they're missing out on the best
food.
Yeah. Wendy. Thank you. Are there any other questions for Bill? Sorry. Okay, Bill, thank you. And now Jeff.
So October was another nice month. The event type that I would certainly applaud for the month of October would be our conferences. We originally had two budgeted. We budgeted about $15,000 per event, so we're talking 30 grand.
there were actually four conferences, and they did a little over 150,000.
Wow.
And so, the spend that each of the events are doing is really remarkable this year. We were about $174,000 to the good on the revenue side. Expenses were a little bit higher. A lot of that is our hourly wages. We've had a little bit of increased hourly because we are not completely fully staffed with permanent employees right now. So the hourly stuff has been a little bit higher, but that was about $94,000 that we were overspent on the expense side, resulting in a net gain of $80,000. Added to our September year-to-date, now we're sitting at around $655,000 to the good. Most of that is, again, just the amount of money people are spending. Our conventions, we've got, we use about $55,000 as our event average when we're budgeting. And right now, through October, we're at about $85,000. So that extra $30,000 times 26 events is about $800,000, $780,000 right there. So that's been outstanding. The other thing that I have said a couple different times, I think, is we had three significant retirements this year. And I actually ran the numbers because they just posted the third one today between the city's vacation payout for people that are leaving and retiring and the sick leave payout that they get. Our three people, and all three of them had over 20 years of experience here at Monona Terrace. Between those two categories, it was just shy of $190,000. And so for us to pay that out when you know that you can't budget for anticipated retirements and still to be about $650,000 as of October is a true credit to, I think, the managers in terms of maintaining their spending and also the sales department for bringing in just great events. So, we won't have a December report, so I'll give you guys November. And at least a preliminary year end in January. And a new podcast.
I have the questions for Jeff. Jeff, thank you.
You're welcome.
Everything's upbeat. It's like our holiday. Happy holidays. Director Connie.
All right. Well, as I've been promising for a long time, here are the gifts of that new item. And the sale will be coming at the end of this month. So the best time to buy, and we have some really great new stuff. So let's see. Oh, it says staff tested and trained a new exhibitor service center. The staff would be Sarah.
It's amazing.
She does it all. This has been something I've wanted to do for a long time, and now we're making it happen. So Sarah's personally going to test it as well to make sure that it functions perfectly. It'll be better for our customers as well. They'll be able to pick the items that they want off of their cell phones and computers and be able to see what they're getting, and hopefully it'll be really, really an easy transition for them.
So can you describe event? What categories of events?
This would be for exhibitors that are coming to something like, let's say, the home show, where you've got a booth and now you need to buy some electrical, maybe you need to buy a TV monitor for your booth. We supply those items, and we've always had a way for exhibitors to do this. We're just upgrading.
Leave a core.
Sorry. Back. This phone's there.
Because of the phone. I don't know what I'm saying.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Well, either way, you can order if you have it.
All right. Yeah. We supply that stuff. We've always had a way for them to order it. It's just now it's going to be presented in this very modern, like you're shopping on Amazon kind of way versus, something far less sophisticated in the past. So it's going to be great.
Thank you.
And then we are also in the process of recertifying for our LEED certification again, Sarah's doing a lot of that work, making sure that it's all done properly and on time, and just kind of gathering all of the pieces and working with the company that we have that does the application for us. there's a strong likelihood that we will not be at platinum level on the recertification because they've changed some of the things that they're looking at, and we're not going to be there for get some of those credits that we used to get. So we're working on that. We're going to they're going to help us with that aspect as well. They're making a list of things that we need to have in place 5 years from now when we do it again, and kind of a step-by-step process to get there. So that'll be good.
But we'll still be at the gold.
Yeah, okay. Definitely. Well, new chairs are here finally. And it's funny because they don't look drastically different, but if you bring the old chair right next to it, it looks drastically different. I think this will just give people more options to like match their decor with these chairs versus the chairs that looked like that before and were just one solid color.
Tweed.
Rooftop is furniture is all stored away. The steam has been turned on, so we're moving in the right direction. The fountain was drained yesterday, just in time. and October has been an incredibly busy month. November is also fairly busy as well. So we're finishing strong. Community relations is continuing to put on a number of events, virtual meditation, yoga core. And then they did a mini meditation retreat that was well attended by 50 people. So that's cool. And then we've had two Right Design lecture series. And the goal there is to increase public engagement with architecture. And a lot of tours that keep coming. Heather gives great tours and other volunteers as well. But so that's been strong as well. And then you see the gift shop new items just in time for our sale, which tends to be a really strong sale every year. So come early or shop online. And then a note about Breanne Chase, who's been here for over 20 years and one of our key salespeople. She received a Team City Award. Great work over the years here at Monona Terrace.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So congratulations.
Yeah. And several staff attended a mandatory city training called Building a Gender Inclusive Workplace. And then we had ABC News here for Election Day coverage. It was a little cold and blistery, but they held in there. And I think that's about it.
Oh, yes. And that's
a couple of those on back here.
But no victory party.
Yeah. Sadly, no parties here at all. The IT AV manager position has not been filled. We're still continuing to kind of try to figure out how a way forward. And then just recently found out that today, as a matter of fact, that the maintenance manager is retiring. So we'll be looking for more positions in the maintenance department too. That's all for me. Anybody have any questions?
Questions for Connie?
Anybody know any maintenance people? No. Just kidding. Or AB.
If I did, I wouldn't give you the name.
Yeah, please.
I think that's it, except for an announcement that we will not be meeting in December. So happy holidays to everybody. Hope I see you around at events. that's it. We'll see you in January. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second? Who seconded?
David.
All those in favor of adjourning, say aye.
I think she would
like no opposition. Thank you to the two who are on the phone.
Sorry. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Who's right. job, hopefully for the AUEI.
Sure.
Actually, I might know somebody.
Sure.
I'm going to
Okay,
thank you. I'm going to take one. Oh, for the board to bring next time? Right. So maybe bring eight? Nine. Thank you.
Or
10. Round number.
No.
Not necessarily.
Do you have to use separate filing system that you're connected to your
I'm sorry, because I sent the email and then you responded so quickly that I was just like,
Sarah, do you need me to sign those two?
I need to make some adjustments.
Okay, oh, right.
And
I'm around.
That's what I was hoping.
Yeah,
no, okay.
Okay.
The bold form?
That's a,
not really a word, not a word now, but it's.
Yeah.
Parking?
Oh, yes. Well, thank you. Yeah,
I'm a convert now.
Nice seeing you.
I
do keep one handy, but you won't really see. I say that, but seriously, you won't. Once you make the move,
I had a pair of tests.
Why did I not do this in here?
Yeah, I'm just the dagger that I haven't done.
And here's the real thing.
But your mind is working faster than your ears are staring.
But that would be good right now.
Yeah, I didn't quite catch it either. Not all that often, unless it's like, confirming a conversation I had on the phone call or whatever. But yeah, once I like take them, use them for whatever I need, and
then they're full. Then they take out money in your office.
And everywhere.
Yeah, under your desk.
And I do lose them, too,
right.
Is the other
right.
thing. I started, hoarding them in my office so that they don't get lost in general.
I'm doing a long project for a client, and...